some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that.
All right, this just in, breaking news, big time news. People magazine has come out with its selection of the sexiest man alive in 2020. And of course, there's the obvious slight. Why not Ron Culver?
That is exactly
our show
my thought.
Producer. Look at him through the glass. He's a thing of beauty. Take a long look.
I know. I'm telling you, they missed the boat on this one.
But leaving aside the oversight,
Michael B. Jordan's got nothing on you, Ron Culver.
People magazine has another selection. They came out with Michael P. Jordan, Michael B. Jordan. And actually, of course, there aren't a lot of names where you really need to have a middle initial. Because if you're just Michael Jordan, you're never going to get any fame. But this guy has done very well in film. He's been in Creed, Black Panther. He's a stud, and he's a pretty handsome man. I guess the thing I'd like to do is, in the midst of this selection, turn to somebody, well, we all know the gloss. She has a sophisticated palate. She has high-minded tastes. She, well, in the topic of sexy men, you know what defines a sexy man. Is Michael B. Jordan a sexy man? Does he deserve this title?
I give it a solid yes.
You give it the stamp of approval.
I'm not saying that's who I would have picked, but hey,
you,
I can see that.
You would have gone with Ron Culver.
Ron Culver or the new Justin Herbert.
Well,
Hairless Bert.
I know it, but Herbert, well, old Culver's going to go get the Justin Herbert hairdo as a devotee of all things
that's
Chargers.
Right. No, that's good pick.
It's interesting because I do believe that the other Michael Jordan, not Michael B. Jordan, but there was a great basketball player, you know,
but
Michael
the everyone
Jordan.
Everyone want to be Jordan.
That
Michael
guy.
Jordan. Yeah.
I think he won the Sexiest Man Alive by People Magazine long, long ago. He's still got a lot of sex appeal.
Yeah, I've got to say, the real deal. Both of them carry that name well. It started well, and it's finishing well. So there you go.
All right, when we come back, we are going to revisit one of the great moments in sports. It was 38 years ago. It was sort of one of those questions.
Anniversary today.
Do you remember where you were when you saw the end of this game? The 38th anniversary of a big game, that coming up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Football Friday with the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Okay, so there are those moments when you say, do you remember where you were when this happened? When you saw that thing take place? When you first heard the voice of Carla Dawson on the Sports Map Radio Network? Do you remember
that's
where you
biggie.
Were?
That's a biggie. That might be a poll question.
That's a huge one. Here's another one. We are at the 38th anniversary of an incredible game. Ron's going to play the audio for us. Here we go.
Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline. Another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. Everybody's milling around on the field. And the Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football. California has won the big game over Stanford.
Yeah, the infamous band game, California, the last play running a kickoff back through the band who had come onto the field in celebration.
Five laterals.
Amazing.
Five laterals. But, what you know, it's still, you know, it's known as the big game between Cal and Stanford. It's a very heated at that time, it was a Pac-10 rivalry. Now it's a Pac-12 rivalry with an axe at stake, a framed axe that gets passed back and forth after the game between the students and who wins. But, you know, this is very controversial because two of the backward passes were not legal, this kind of thing. But so people to this day, well, and I'm a NorCal girl, will fight vehemently about this game. It's really been something.
And the
else.
Side you take?
I'm a Cardinal girl.
Yeah. And
darn.
You've gotten kids to go to Stanford, so.
Yeah, I'm on their side. I'm really a USC grad, but
sure.
Yeah, I got to support the family. But those announcers were Barry Tompkins and John Beasley, and I'm telling you, the fact that they survived, that they're still living after that dramatic announcement is a credit to their health.
Well,
wow.
The final play was dramatic enough, and as you know,
there were
questionable laterals back and forth. That's exciting enough. But the fact that the band went onto the field, the Stanford band was on the field celebrating already, just adds to the whole optics and drama of the conclusion.
And Stanford had a 2019 lead. So you think this had all the makings, and it far surpassed its billing to just an incredible rivalry game that's tight and close. And the Stanford band, for those of you who don't know, it's like sand being scattered. They kind of make fun of the regular, very, you know, formation building bands. They don't even have matching outfits. They're crazy. They do nutty things. Like one time on Southwest Airlines, the band was traveling to a game and they all decided at the same time to get up out of their seats and jump down into their seats. And it did actually lower the plane, like it dropped the plane. And they are banned from any air travel. So now the Stanford band has to drive.
Yeah, listen,
to all their
for
games.
A pretty smart student group, we're talking Stanford students, that's not the smartest move to make.
They do all kinds of things. We won't get it. Nudity is a big part of it. It's a lot of crazy.
Now you've got my attention.
So happy anniversary to the big game, to the
year
play.
38.
To the play.
In light of, it was actually, I think, because of Kyler Murray's great Hail Mary throw to DeAndre Hopkins.
Hail Murray, yeah.
Yeah, the Hail Mary throw. And the big win over the Bills. In light of that, I was watching. There were sort of top 10 great sports finishes in football ever.
That's
and
one of them.
It was fun to see the list. And, yes, this Cal-Stanford conclusion was on there.
Here
were some other ones. And in college football, it was notable. The announcers there were saying this is the greatest ending of any college football game ever. Well, that was 38 years ago.
Right.
Auburn, Alabama the other year, where Auburn ran the –
That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, just a few years back when they – and Alabama's going to win the – I mean, Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. That was certainly a top 10 moment and one of the best in college football, if not the best ever.
Yeah, that was incredible. I love me some college football. What a weird season we're having.
Well, on the pro, I just have to come – I'm still on my list.
Okay,
two
bring
or three
it
others.
On.
The other
I
one,
love it.
Seahawks-Patriots because of the stakes. I mean,
the Super Bowl, the Malcolm
Super Bowl,
Butler.
The conclusion of that. Certainly was there,
and look at the far-reaching implications of that loss. Atlanta has never, I mean, the Seahawks have never gone back to the Super Bowl and won.
No, they really had
it
to re-sync
really tainted
set them.
Them
back. Yes,
they have not been able to recover from that. It's incredible.
So college football is struggling, and COVID has really intruded on this season. It's just been such a sloppy and difficult season. I mean, when we look ahead this week, there's going to be the mayhem the bedlam in Oklahoma with Oklahoma playing Oklahoma State. That game doesn't have the shine that it has in other years because the Big 12 just isn't worthy
There's no undefeated teams in the Big 12.
No, really, this is now – the Big 12 is a battle to see who gets the pride of being the Big 12 champion. But I don't think any team from the Big 12 is in consideration for the CFP. But then there are all these other games that had to have been postponed. COVID has really – been a detrimental force on college football this year.
What's been interesting is that college football, I felt like as a whole, was really managing it, being managed very, very well until Halloween weekend. About 10 days post Halloween weekend is when everything went crazy. And I think you cannot blame college kids in their 20s. Probably had a great weekend, and Halloween masks don't do the same as COVID masks. And here we go. Look, I mean, we can't get a full college schedule. I mean, there's at least 7 games canceled this weekend. I think maybe even more than that. And I think a lot of games are being rescheduled for December 19th. There's not a lot of room in the schedule at this point. We're getting so close to the end. December 19th is also the day of all the conference championships. Mm. So for the teams that will not be in them, they can play that day.
Yep.
But this could affect teams that are going to potentially be in the college football playoffs. So I think the selection committee has a really tough job ahead of them in, do they have enough to have this college football playoff? Are there enough games? You look at an Ohio State who's played three games and they can't play this weekend.
Yep.
So do you really put a team in there who has maybe gotten four games in? I don't know. I mean, right
It'd
now they're saying you've got to have six games to play for your conference championship. You look again at Wisconsin, you know, in the Big Ten West, they're the number two in power rankings in the Big Ten behind Ohio State. They've had two games because of COVID.
Yep.
So I just, man, I my dream is to be on the college football playoff selection committee someday. Not this year. This is a toughie. And how do you look at strength of schedule when you really can't have or aren't able to have out of conference games to boost your strength of schedule? I don't know.
Well, the NCAA is taking every possible step to ensure that they will have their men's basketball tournament.
Wow, they have.
They're going to have their own little bubble, right, in Indianapolis?
Yeah, it won't be little. It'll be a lot. All 68 teams they're counting on. But you when you look at the numbers, can you see why?
Well, they make a lot of money. This is a heavy, heavy deal financially.
$1.1 billion in revenues for March Madness, that whole tournament. And last year, obviously, the whole pandemic hit and was canceled right before. They did have an insurance policy for $270 million could be recouped. But that's a loss of almost $850 million. And I think the NCAA can withstand that for 1 year, which they did. There is no way that can happen with 2 years without that sport going under. So I believe March Madness is going to happen somehow, some way, and it may be a bubble in Indianapolis is what they're looking at.
Well, and in that window, there may be a vaccine, God willing, that would help the world out a great deal. All right. Also helping out the world a great deal is our guest up next segment. His name is Howard Balzer, and he covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. He's also the co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame radio show that's heard on Sirius XM. Howard is a guru of all things NFL. We're going to get him next on the Progressive Insurance guest line. We're going to ask him, what's the ceiling for this Cardinals team? Are they a team that can really make a run deep into the playoffs this year? It'll be Howard Balzer next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Are the wiper blades on your car chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts also will install your wiper blades free of charge. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now is one of the real sages of the NFL. This is Howard Balzer joining us. Howard covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated, among many other roles. He's also hosts a weekly Hall of Fame radio show. Howard, thanks for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? It's great to be with you.
Well, great to have you, and we're eager to dive into last night's game. What were your reactions, the Cardinals falling to the Seahawks?
It's interesting because with all the accolades that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals have received this season, yet last night's game was kind of symbol and very similar to a lot of the struggles that they have had during the season that sometimes are overlooked when they pull out games like they did the first Seattle game, 10 points in the fourth quarter, tied it, and won in overtime. Of course, pulling it out against Buffalo last week. But it's an inconsistent offense that can be tremendous and explosive at times, and other times just trying to scratch your head and figuring out what they're trying to accomplish. And we saw that with a slow start. They've had slow starts really all season, and especially in the last few weeks in the first quarter, 2 3 and outs to begin the game. last night, and then the penalties. It's a team that all year, almost after every game, Cliff Kingsbury comes out and says, we have too many penalties. We have to clean this up. And guess what? He said that last night also. Eight offensive penalties, four false starts. It's funny, I wrote something on the website, and I said, well, that can be understood, the false starts, when you're playing in the craziness of the now-named Lumen Field in Seattle with all those fans. And then I said, oh, that's right, I forgot. There were no fans there. So, you know, some of those things are troubling. And as improved as this team is, if they're going to be a playoff team, which they still believe they can be, they obviously have to clean up a lot of the inconsistencies and those penalties that continue to hurt them.
Howard, that was what I was going to ask you, is in order for the Cards to make a deep playoff run, what spots do you think need to be cleaned up besides penalties, which is obvious? And I would add on to that, like, for example, we're here in Houston. We've given you a Christmas gift for life in DeAndre Hopkins. Would we be seeing the Kyler Murray performance we're seeing this year without a D-Hop?
Probably not. Probably not. Because with the numbers he has, and there are times where you say, oh, how come they're not targeting him more? But they do have other guys that you have to get the ball to, and you do have to spread it around. But without him, just his presence, mm-hmm. even if they don't go to him,
as a decoy,
it opens up things for other players. And so that was a huge addition for that team. And, yes, I would agree. They're in this position now at 6-4. Let's remember, this is a team that won five games last year in Kyler Murray's rookie season and Cliff Kingsbury's first year as a head coach. So they've already won six. And you mentioned taking a deep run in the playoffs. You know, the key is you have to make it first before you even fashion the idea mm-hmm. of having a deep run. So they play the Rams twice coming down the stretch. Next game after this mini bye is against an improving New England team. So they've got some tough games that they need to come out on top of if they're even going to get into the postseason.
Yeah, and Seattle, their AFC West foe, or NFC West foe, has a really easy schedule, basically taking down the entire NFC East coming up. So that's going to be tough.
Yeah, it will be. You know, the Cardinals still have two games against the NFC East with the Eagles and the Giants. But, hey, the Giants are playing improved football, and they're not going to be an easy out. So, yeah, not like you said, the two games against the Rams will probably be key, including coming up in a couple of weeks. The first week of December they play the Rams and then end the regular season in Los Angeles against them. So, and by the way, in the 3 years that Sean McVay has been the Rams head coach, the Cardinals have not defeated the Rams in any of those six games. So those are going to be huge matchups.
We're talking to Howard Balzer, who has joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Howard covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated, but I know you can talk all things NFL. Want to open it up. When you look at Kyler Murray, he's such a standout young quarterback, but there have been some really great quarterbacks this year, rookie quarterbacks in Burrow and Herbert and Tua. How do you evolve or evaluate those three, and what's the ceiling on these guys?
I think the ceiling is very, very high. To borrow a cliche that a lot of people say, really the sky's the limit. So much does depend on the teams and the skill and the players that are put around them. But they've shown tremendous growth in their rookie year. Of course, Tua didn't play until a few weeks ago, but he's done a nice job of avoiding turnovers on a team that doesn't have a lot of offensive firepower. But as they improve that, he should get better. So this is a very good group that really, when you look at it, joins a very good group of young quarterbacks. We certainly all love the old-timers. You know, like Brady and like Breeze and Ben Roethlisberger still around, obviously, and Aaron Rodgers and Philip Rivers helping Indianapolis be in the playoff chase. But the young quarterbacks, the younger quarterbacks in this league are really coming in and establishing themselves quickly. And when some of those, quote, old-timers leave, this league's going to be in very good hands, I suspect, with a lot of the young quarterbacks now and the other ones that will be coming down the pike and entering the league.
We're talking to Howard Balzer, who covers the Cardinals for SI and is a co-host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show. Howard, speaking of rookies and young guys in the league, talk to me about the struggles of first-round pick for Arizona, Clemson defender Isaiah Simmons, who was a utility man for the Tigers, doing a little bit of that in Arizona. He's been used as a gadget player, you know, some nickel, covering receivers. What is Vance Joseph? He had a better game this last weekend. Is he working him more into the inside linebacker position? And what? How do you think he needs to develop him better going forward?
Well, I think he's showing that development. He really has. The last three games, he's played more snaps than all season. And he was asked to do a lot in a defense mm-hmm. that you just don't walk in and be comfortable with, especially without an off-season program where you're on the field and with a very shortened and reduced training camp. And so last night against Seattle, I don't know the number of snaps yet, but he was out in that field an awful lot and led the team in tackles. He had a sack. And so they are seeing the progress from him that they expected, and will figure to see more in these last six games of the season for them. So there was a lot of frustration from fans. They're saying, why isn't he out there? You got to put him out there. Why isn't he out there? But coaches are very stubborn about that, especially they don't want to put a guy out there that's going to make mistakes and not know his assignment. And the biggest thing about defense is if you're going to play fast, which you have to do, you also have to do it without thinking about what you're supposed to do on a play. And if you're thinking, then you can't play fast, and that leads to mistakes. Well, the game is slowing down for him, which is a term everyone likes to use, and we've seen that the last 3 weeks. And really, it started in the first game against Seattle when he had the huge interception in overtime. So I think he's only going to get better and better, continue making an impact down the stretch of this season, and who knows what level he could play at next year, because he's going to be the player that the Cardinals thought he was going to be. And sometimes with guys, it just takes time.
I want to shift gears and ask you about the Texans. We're broadcasting out of Houston here. And this week, Jamie Roots, who's the team president, came out and said, no, Jack Easterby will not be the general manager of the Texans next year. It certainly doesn't seem that Romeo Crennel will be the head coach next year. So they're going to need to go find both a GM and a head coach. Where do they go to find these guys? Do you like Eric Bieniemy as a fit in Houston? Where do you think Houston will look?
Yeah, it's a great question, David. And I think that they'll look in a lot of different directions. And that's what you have to do, especially when you're also looking for a guy to lead the personnel end of the organization, which quite frankly has been kind of dysfunctional over the last few years, with having general managers getting rid of them and Bill O'Brien calling the shots and many questioning what he was doing and things, and I always thought that DeAndre Hopkins' situation was somewhat out of his control because he just wanted that new contract and it wasn't a great situation. But having said all that, you just never know. Sometimes hiring the head coach, I don't want to say it's easier than the GM, because you just never know how a great assistant is going to be as a head coach. Yes, you would think that Bieniemy would be a good fit, but it still comes down to giving that head coach the talent and the bullets in the gun, so to speak, that he needs to be successful. And so that's going to be the key, coming up with perhaps a young and upcoming personnel guy that can bring an organization together. We've seen that, in Indianapolis. We've seen it in Kansas City with Brett Veach. We've seen it in different places, Brandon Bean in Buffalo, with guys that a lot of people didn't know a lot about, but they've done a great job coming to those organizations and setting the stage for the personnel that you need. And that's what the Texans are going to have to find, and you hope that they have the ability to hone in on that guy, bring him in, and then that guy's able to do what needs to be done. Because this is the team, that roster still has some talent. So it's not as if they're starting over. And what you have to really be able to do is put it all together, be consistent with your plan, and then give the coaches the players that they need to be successful.
We're talking to NFL sage Howard Balzer. We've got about 30 seconds left. One franchise, it seems like they're on a great trajectory, the Dolphins. Flores has done a great job, and they've got all those draft picks. When are the Dolphins a Super Bowl contender?
Wow, that's a great one. And who knows? I mean, heck, in this league, when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. And they're a team that's very opportunistic. They score on defense. They score on special teams. And like you said, with those draft picks, they make them count next year. Who knows? I mean, they could be in the hunt next year. Man, if they get in the playoffs this year, they could be a very tough out. But they're definitely on the right trajectory, and they're doing all the right things and keep improving that talent. And they're going to be a very good team for a lot of years, I think.
Howard, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, you've got some breaking news for us, Carla. You know, when I think we're doing a radio show and I'm sitting here talking to you and you're looking at your computer screen, taking all those notifications that come, I now have at least an understanding. You're getting the breaking news up for us. What do you got?
I'm taking care of you, boss.
Yeah,
I'm making you look good.
Good. What do you have?
So the Saints have named their starting quarterback for this weekend.
Must be Jameis Winston, right?
It is not famous Jameis. He is going to be taking a seat to Taysom Hill. We are going to see the utility man starting under center. Pretty exciting.
That is a big decision. Obviously, Breeze, we all hope, will be back in 3 to 4 weeks and will be available for the playoff run. But I thought in this interim step, there was some narrative that, well, they didn't want to have Taysom Hill replace Drew Brees because then they wouldn't have a replacement for Hill. And so then you'd be down at two positions. But anyway, they go with Hill. I think that it will be really intriguing. It'll be fun to watch him play because we've not seen a lot of him as a real starting quarterback having to run an offense for a full game.
No, it's so true. He's going to be fascinating, if anything. I mean, obviously, he's a talent. He's an undrafted four-year pro who can play quarterback, tight end, fullback, wide receiver, special teams. He just brings a whole nother dimension. He averages 5 yards a carry. He can execute a run-pass option. He's not an accomplished passer. I mean, of course, the body of work is very small. He's 10 of 18 in completions with 0 touchdowns and 1 interception. But you know what? This is fun. There's no film on him. Much film on him. When you look at, I think, what famous Jameis is most famous for, he's the first ever 30-30 guy in one season. Over 30 touchdowns, over 30 interceptions
yep.
in the same season. I think that the Saints could execute a Breeze-like offense with Jameis, but that's asking for with Jameis without turnovers, and that's a big ask.
Well, and so much of a Breeze offense is driven by Drew Breeze's incredible accuracy. I mean, he's not throwing
Amen.
The ball with great velocity way downfield. It's not arm strength for him. It's accuracy. Winston comes in with a lot of arm strength, but I'm not sure about his decision-making on the field. The one thing about Hill...
You don't like him eating his fingers? You don't think that's a good idea?
Well, no, he's got me on that one. That one's always turned my head. I've always paid attention to that.
Gosh, that is so bizarre.
I mean, the one thing that will be fun to see
SMH.
Is what kind of creativity Sean Payton comes up with to tap into the full skill set of Hill. That offense will look different with Hill under center. And mm-hmm. I think you'll see some really interesting plays. Payton will figure out a way to make it work. Of course, the Saints did very well last year when Teddy Bridgewater filled in, and I expect they will do very well yet again under Hill and Winston if he gets in during the course of the 3 or 4 games that Breeze is out.
It's a well-coached team. They've got great schemes. I think it's built for success. So exciting for Taysom Hill, and I'm going to be watching every minute of that game.
Well,
very excited.
It's hard to break away from the NFL because so much is happening there, but we have committed to taking a close look at the NBA because actually there's a whole lot going on there. This is a huge
week. And free agency starts tonight.
Well, the thing is there's always now this new narrative that the NBA offseason is often more interesting than the regular season, at least. I'm not saying more interesting than the postseason, but I'll take offseason over regular season. And this offseason, very, very short, but activity deeply underway. I will start with really one of the most disappointing things. And
oh, gosh, I have a
you
pit
know where
in
this
my
is,
stomach.
A pit in your stomach.
Pit.
Klay Thompson of the Warriors. I know you're a longstanding Warrior fan. He went down, ruptured his Achilles tendon.
The night of the NFL draft. I mean, of the NBA draft.
Yeah, so sad.
Wednesdays. So
he's
sad.
By all accounts, sort of a gym rat, a basketball junkie, always playing,
yep.
always
yep.
working, and a devastating injury both for him and for the Warriors. I hated to see that. In fact, right now we're at a place where they picked up Kelly Oubre. And
they're in process to do that, yeah.
As the nominal replacement, there's no replacing Klay Thompson.
No, that's right.
But with Oubre coming in with the number 2 overall pick, Wiseman joining that team.
Love that pick. Mm.
Are the Warriors positioned with that roster to make a deep run? I really thought this was a team that was maybe going to come back and win the championship if they'd had a healthy Klay Thompson. I now wonder about that. With Oubre and Wiseman, I don't know if they've got all those pieces, but how do you feel? I mean, you've got a team that's really got to regroup after Klay's loss.
It's a huge loss.
Yeah.
And listen to this stat. In Klay's first 8 seasons with Golden State, he played 97% of the games. This is not small. And this craziness, I mean, he's so impactful. This is going to be an absolutely huge loss. Steph and Klay combined have a total of 3,976 three-pointers, which is most all-time for a duo.
Yep.
So, like you said, you can't really replace that, but the Warriors are not sitting pat. They're not willing to do what happened last season because of injuries and when they went 15-50. But Klay's missing his second consecutive season. Was ACL all last year. This is a separate leg with the Achilles tear. He's expected to make a full recovery, which is great. The reason that the Warriors cannot be counted out, they've gone from 8-1 odds of winning it all to 20-1 now.
Yep.
But it's the impact of Stephen Curry. That can never be discounted. He is truly the best shooter that the NBA, I believe, in my humble opinion, has ever seen. So his impact cannot be underrated. And I think that James Wiseman, who they got with the second pick in the NBA draft on Wednesday, he's going to be an impact player from day one. And you still have Draymond. And I think it's, and then you bring in Kelly Oubre. I think your starting five is going to be nice. It's not going to replace Klay. And that symbiotic relationship that they have with each other, Steph and Klay, cannot be replaced. But I think they're going to be competitive, and I think they can make it to the playoffs. Now, they're in the wild, wild west, and they've got a rising Denver team, and obviously the Lakers. Who knows if the Clippers are going to come out of their idiocy that they showed this year. But it's a tough west. But I see the Warriors not giving up. They're going all in. They're going way over the luxury tax to bring in Oubre. I mean, they're not ready to call this thing quits yet. And the team went down to see Klay the night he was injured. How about that? Pretty cool.
That's the team they are. And clearly they do believe they've got a shot because they're going to spend all this money. That's an historic going over the luxury tax, picking up Oubre and his expiring contract. The whole tab here, it's about a $66 million luxury tax bill that the Warriors will pay.
And then his $14 million salary.
And so they bring him in. I mean, this is a big-time commitment. I credit ownership that they are all in with this team at this time.
But listen, the ownership in Golden State is outstanding. And I think how they have been ridden with injuries really shows you the effects of 5 consecutive trips to the finals, going deep, going all the way for 5 years, having more than an extra season on your legs. It has consequences. Mm. And it's in Kevin Durant, it's in Klay, it's in Steph, it's showing up.
Now, you mentioned the free agent market starts this evening. There's a big name who is apparently now becoming an unrestricted free agent, Gordon Hayward of the Celtics.
What do you think, Mr. Celtic?
Well,
give me your take.
Hayward was in a place where he had an option to come back to the Celtics at a 1-year deal of $34 million, and that's a really nice price tag.
Wow, that's nice.
Great compensation for 1 year. And I guess the opportunity for Hayward, what he's chasing is a total number that's bigger than that over several years.
So he wants longer term.
Maybe he gets a 4-year deal for $80 million. Now, that would be an average annual value of, say, 20 versus the 1 year of 34, but he'd get a commitment of 80 and that long-term security and assurance.
With his injury history, I don't blame him wanting longer than 1 year.
Yeah, he's really been injury-prone. So here come the Celtics. Right now, as it stands, there are really 3 potential outcomes. Hayward could just walk from the Celtics and sign with a team like the Knicks, who are apparently ready to offer him a very big contract. There could be a sign and trade where he comes and gets to the Celtics, they sign him, and then they trade him to a team that then would be able to take on his contract at full fury.
Which there's not a lot that can take on his contract, right?
No, that's right. There are not a lot of teams with a lot of cap room. The Knicks certainly have that space, and that's why the Knicks are sort of a hot rumored team for him. But, man, I don't know why I'd want to go play for the Knicks. Gordon Hayward has had this chance here to play for a very competitive Celtics team. I think he'd be taking a big step back if he were to go to the Knicks.
You think he'd go back to Utah? They've got some cap space, and they've got a young, fun team.
Well, I think he was happy there. In fact, I don't think his decision to go from Utah to Boston was an easy one by all accounts. And then, of course, the other option is that the Celtics sign him to a longer-term deal, that if he wants a four-year deal of $80 million, that the Celtics are the team that steps up to do that. That would put the Celtics in a pretty heavy luxury tax environment. But all options are on the table. Neither the Celtics nor Gordon Hayward's agent have ruled out the possibility of a return to Boston. But clearly we're sitting in a place now where it's much less likely that he'll end up in Boston. I think there's likely to be some team that's going to rush in and overpay, and that team is probably the Knicks.
That would be very Knicks-ish.
Yeah.
Although he's a great player. I mean, I love Gordon Hayward. It's just, you know, your best ability is availability, and he hasn't been since he's come to Boston.
Right. Well, he's a guy who, if you're really trying to build a championship roster, you want to look at him as sort of your third best player. He's not a number one.
Behind Tatum and Brown.
He's not a number two. And so he fits neatly on that Celtics team behind Tatum and Brown. And really with Kemba Walker as the potentially third best player, that gave them maybe the best foursome in the league when you go 1-4 in totality. And then you have Marcus Smart, who, of course, is an excellent defender and sort of the heart and soul of that team. Yep. Holding that group together is, I think, a really great opportunity for the Celtics. It's just not clear what that's going to cost if Hayward's really trying to optimize a total financial outcome and a long-term deal right now. Now, one guy who is under contract but wants to change scenery is James Harden here in Houston. And James Harden is, by all accounts, one of the top five players in the NBA. He's got 2 years left on his deal in Houston, but he has said he wants no more. He is eager to move on, and probably it looks like his favorite team and place to go would be to join Durant and Irving on the Nets.
Okay, you're being very kind, and I appreciate that, but I'm gonna give it as I see it.
Let's turn you loose.
He turned down, this is Harden, who's under contract for another 2 years with the biggest contract on the Rockets. He just turned down a two-year, $103 million extension, which would have put a 31-year-old James Harden, 31 right now, under contract for another 5 years, to force his way to Brooklyn to join KD and Kyrie. And, you know,
But those words, force his way, it's very much a question mark how much leverage he really has.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you think about the Rockets right now, they have a rookie GM in Rafael Stone,
yep,
who, by all accounts that I hear, is very well thought of and is really an up-and-comer and has learned well under Daryl Morey. You have a rookie head coach in Steven Silas. And I hesitate to say rookie because he's been in the league 20 years and is, you know, son of Paul Silas and has really paid his dues. These two guys know what they're doing. And I think that Harden and Westbrook, who's also asking to be out, they're using the excuse of these are two newbies, I don't really want to play with it, when it really is we want to go join a super team because their chance to win was last year with the two of them together. And there's been several chances to win. When you think about who Harden has brought in, he's asked for, you know, he wanted Howard in, then wanted him out. McHale, he got him fired. Wanted CP3 in, wanted CP3 out. Wanted Westbrook in, Westbrook out. Like, at some point, the Rockets are going to need to have to say, you're not running this team. You're a passive-aggressive leader who is a me-first scorer, and you can't perform in the big moments. So you're going to sit your booty down unless I can get a bounty of picks for you. I'm tired of this. And I'm here in Houston, and I love James Harden. The guy's incredible. But he is not the GM. He does not run this team, and he has not performed enough to be able to call where he wants to go.
Well, Rockets in a place now where both of their stars, Westbrook and Harden, saying they want out. And there was this notion that they wanted out because their owner was a Trump supporter. I don't know if they've checked out the owners of other NBA teams, but there may be a lot of Trump supporters. I think that's an odd sort of criterion to pick of where you're going to play in this environment, and the fact that most owners are probably Republican anyway. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come right back and wrap up the show. You're listening to the Boston The Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Now, I know when both James Harden and Russell Westbrook say they went out of the Rockets, even though Harden's got another 2 years, he's been offered a lot of money, I know that makes you sick.
I cannot deal with this.
Your stomach hurts.
It is in knots. I don't like this.
It causes you pain.
Yes, it does.
I have the solution for you.
Okay, bring it on. I need it.
Nauzene. N-A-U-Z-E-N-E, Nauzene. It is the solution for your stomach pain.
Okay, look, but I need it to work fast. How
fast? It will work very, very fast. In fact, I'm going to tell you that, well, we're heading into Thanksgiving week, are we not?
Yes,
there's a real risk that someone like Ron Culver is going to eat too much. He's going to have a lot of turkey stuffing.
Not a risk, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
I'm really glad he didn't say the gloss. That's all.
He's going to get a stomach ache. And what are you going to take, Ron?
Oh, Nauzene.
Nauzene is the answer. You've got to get some Nauzene. You just chew up the tablets, and they will fix what ails you. If you've got an upset stomach, if you've got nausea, as you did over James Harden, they're quick-dissolving, chewable tablets. They are fantastic.
Nauzene leads to sweet dreams. There you go.
Nauzene leads to sweet dreams. I like that. All right, look, this hour of The Boss and the Gloss on SportsMap Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Go see them. They're the best. All right, it's been great to be with you. I really appreciate all of our listeners. Ron, thanks for your help behind the glass.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We won't see you till post-T-Day.
Happy Thanksgiving.